السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters and elders, today inshallah is the concluding khutbah of the series that we have been doing called Reflect on the Quran. And as we know, we have been using Surah Al-Fatiha as the means by which to drive home this message about the importance of reflecting on the Quran, of the importance of understanding the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the importance of responding to the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not simply reading it without understanding or reading it without reflecting on it. Because only when we respond to it, then the issue of amal comes into being, that we heard something, we understood that thing, and what is the response? Is to follow it. And that response is absolutely critical, because if we do not want the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to become a witness against us, then we have to respond to the Kalam of Allah. We have to actually act on the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to do that which is pleasing to Him, and with khair to make it impossible for us to disobey Him or to do something which leads to His anger and which leads to misguidance. A lot of people ask a lot of questions. The issue is, after the question, what do you do? And after the question, if you still do something which you now clarified and you know it is wrong, then subhanAllah, may Allah save us from that kind of a fate. And that's why we closed last Jum'ah with the hadith from Musnad Ahmad, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about being with his brothers and sisters, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for. But if we want to be among those people who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for, the single most important element is to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to reject everything which goes against the sunnah. There is no compromise in this. There is no leeway in this. There is no scope in this to interpret the following of the sunnah in anything other than how it has been interpreted and told to us in the Quran itself, in the ahadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from the aqwal of all the Salafus Salihin that we talk about and we quote and we mention and we follow. And therefore there is no scope for anything other than to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is a matter of great delight and a matter of great, or should be a matter of great happiness, is that the following of the sunnah is something which in itself is so beautiful, it is so ennobling, it is something which is something that one would probably want to do anyway, irrespective of whether you were told to follow it or not. There is something so beautiful about the sunnah that there is, I seriously personally think that only two kinds of people will not follow the sunnah. One whose iman is seriously deficient, and the other one who is completely ignorant. I mean, he's not following the sunnah because he doesn't know what it is. But somebody who knows what it is, and then the person goes against the sunnah, Allah knows best. I mean, how do you explain that? There are a lot of people who make a lot of excuses for leaving the sunnah. I strongly and seriously advise you, ignore all of them, reject all of them. Follow the one who is worthy of following, and that is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore, reject all innovations, reject all bid'at, reject everything which goes against the sunnah. To shave your beard is against the sunnah. I am sick and tired of saying this again and again. I hope you also get sick and tired of listening to me saying this again and again. And remember that you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, for guidance to the sunnah. You stood in salah and you said, what did you say? Ihdinas sirat al-mustaqim. You asked for guidance to the sunnah. And then you go and break the sunnah. What answer have you got for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Please think about the answer. Because if you continue on that path, a day will come when you will have to give that answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Make absolutely clear this thing in your mind. Have no doubt about this. And therefore the question is, I asked for something and then I rejected myself. This is so crazy. It's absolutely insane. I mean, how somebody can do this? We ask for something, then we reject it. Oh Allah, give me this, but I don't want it. Then why did you ask for it? If you did not want Siratul Mustaqim, why did you ask for Siratul Mustaqim? You should have asked for whatever you wanted. Please, my brothers and sisters, let's stop playing games with ourselves. Let's stop playing games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I keep saying to you again and again, I have nothing personal to gain in this. Whether you follow the sunnah or not is for you. Makes no difference to me, one way or the other. I am telling you because it is my duty to tell you. If I stood here and I did not tell you, if I stood here and if I told you things that you like to hear, even though I know that those are wrong, then I will have to answer to Allah. And that I am not prepared to do. Not for you, not for anybody. So please, take charge of your lives. Make tawbah and change your ways. Lest you be held among those who said one thing and did something else. People who angered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent where he refused to forgive them, even if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for them. The people who used to be called the munafiqun. The ayat of Surah Al-Tawbah are clear, go read it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from following that path of people who said something but they had something else in their heart. We come to the last ayah of this beautiful surah, Surah Al-Fatiha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further clarified the meaning of Siratul Mustaqim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Siratul ladhina an'amta alayhim ghayril maqdubi alayhim waladdallin. Now please remember and understand this, that the dua for guidance is effectively over with Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide me to the path. Conversation is over, matter is over. Then what is the need for saying Siratul Ladina An'amta Alayhim Ghairil Maghdubi Alayhim Waladdallin? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by saying this, is really further clarifying and reiterating what we asked for. As-Siratul Mustaqim. What it is and what it is not. So first, what is As-Siratul Mustaqim? What is Siratul Ladina An'amta Alayhim? Consider this. When you want to show someone the way to some place and you want to be doubly sure that the person will not make a mistake, what do you say? You say, go this way and not that way. Even though go this way was enough. But you specifically, because you want to make doubly sure that it doesn't take a wrong time, you say go this way, not that way. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask for. The way of those who received his blessings and earned his pleasure, and not the way of those who incurred his anger and who fell into misguidance. Truly the Quran is ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. The Quran is a book in which there is no doubt. A book which is completely clear for those whose hearts are pure and in whose hearts there is no disease of hypocrisy. Truly, my brothers and sisters, let us remember, the Quran will be a witness for us or against us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the Quran a witness for us. A witness which we will not be able to deny or refute. A witness who will be listened to. And a witness who will intercede for us or who will complain against us. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the Quran is an intercessor whose intercession will be accepted. So ask yourself, what do you want the Quran to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you? You want the Quran to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, this man, this woman attached himself, herself to me. They read me, they followed me. So forgive them. Or do you want to say, O Allah, this man, this woman threw me behind their back and they read me and they understood what I was saying, but they refused to follow. So throw them in the hellfire. The Quran will say one of these things. The Quran will say one of these things. And it's up to us what we want to hear from the Quran before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is the kalam of Allah. The Quran is not a created thing. The Quran is not makhluq. The Quran is the sifat of Allah Jalla Jalalu. And therefore there is no intercessor which is superior to the intercessor or the intercession of the Quran. So who are these people who earned the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them in Surah An-Nisa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and whosoever obeys Allah and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be in the company of those on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed His grace. From among the prophets, the Siddiqun, the Shuhada, the martyrs, and the Salihun, the righteous people. And how excellent these companions are. Hasuna ulaika rafiqa. My brothers and sisters, we make dua, O Allah, resurrect me with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We make dua, O Allah, give us the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes? The Quran is telling us how to get the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please remember, the dua alone is not sufficient. The dua alone is not sufficient. The Quran is telling us how to get the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the other Anbiya and Siddiqun and Shuhada and Salihun. And what is that method? وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ. The one who obeys Allah and who obeys the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who told us to grow our beards and to trim our mustaches. Sorry to be a broken record, but I am a broken record who wants to be an unbroken record before Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically ordered and said, do not cut your beards. He said, grow your beards, because this is the sign of a Muslim. This is the sign of an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is the sign of a man. Please understand. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And if anyone thinks that يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ is only the beard, then they are seriously demented, because I am only giving something as an example. And I want to give this example and explain to you that in Islam there is no concept of selective obedience. You cannot say, see, I am shaving my beard but I speak the truth. So having the beard would not have permitted you to speak lies. Same logic, huh? I shave my beard but I speak the truth. So if you keep a beard, it means lying now is halal for you. In Islam, what does Islam ask? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's demand? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu udkhulu fis silmi kaffatan. Completely. Selective obedience is disobedience. Please understand very clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only mentioned those who received His blessings and grace, but promised to keep those who obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with those people. So ask yourself, do you want to be resurrected with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And if the answer is yes, then follow His sunnah. Stop making excuses. Stop fooling yourself, because you are not fooling anyone other than yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned this matter of following the sunnah and the reward for it in Surah At-Tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى said in the first to embrace Islam, سابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار, from the مهاجرون and the أنصار, والذين اتبعهم. I have mentioned this ayah many times and I have drawn your attention to this one piece of this ayah for which we must fall in sajda and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عن, this ayah would have been complete in terms of its meaning and in terms of its grammar. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the sabiqun and awwalun, the first among the muhajirin and the ansar who accepted Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. The sentence is complete, the ayah is complete, the meaning is complete. But what do you say to your Rabb? What do you say about your Rabb? What do you say about the rahmah of your Rabb who did not say this ayah like that? But instead, what did he do? He added this piece in it. And what is the piece? وَالتَّبَعُ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ السَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْسَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Allah said the first, who are the sabiqun al-awwalun min al-muhajirin wal-ansar? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. Sabiqun al-awwalun. Even people like Umar ibn al-Khattab don't come into this, they are later ones. The level of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq over Umar ibn al-Khattab, big difference. We are not here to give status to people. I'm just saying that these are the realities of accepting the deen without question the moment it is presented to you. Sa'd bin Mu'adh, Mus'ab bin Umair. What is the level of Mus'ab bin Umair? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and those who follow these people to a level of excellence, those who make the effort of following those people to the level of excellence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep them with those people. You want to be with these people, you want to be with the Khulafa Rashida, you want to be with the people, the Sabiqun al-Awwalun, what must you do? Follow them to the best of your ability. Do what they did. Stop yourself from what they stopped themselves from. Don't make excuses. Don't play games with yourself. Don't try to fool yourself. Follow them completely and totally in everything that they did. And then inshallah, you and I will have an excuse to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Rab, you promised this. Please give it to us. The matter I always mention is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen not to say this, the door of being with the Sahaba would have been closed forever. The door of being with the Sahaba would have been closed forever. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left the door open. He left the door open for us, for anyone till the day of judgment who wants to be with the Sahaba. You want to be resurrected with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to be with the company of Abu Bakr and Umar wa Uthman wa Ali wa Talha wa Zubair radiallahu anhu majmain. You want to be in the company of the Azwajatul Mutahharat, the Ummahatul Mumineen. You want to be in the company of the Sahabiyat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Door is open. Door is open. All that remains is for us to act. When the slave recites this last ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha, he reflects on what is asking, what he is or she is asking Allah for, and what he or she needs to do for his dua to be resurrected with the Sahaba, with the Anbiya, with the Awliya, what he needs to do for this dua to be answered. He makes tawbah and he changes his ways to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, which he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And then, as I said, you want to make doubly sure, we're talking about showing a person a direction, and you said go this way, and we said do not go that way. And so also in this ayah, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, and then do not go that way, which is غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Don't take the wrong path. Which is the wrong path? Not the way of those who earned your anger, or the way of those who went astray. When the slave recites this part of the ayah, he makes tawbah for all those things in his life which are likely to incur the anger of Allah. And he asks for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And then he looks for all those things which are really misguidance, and he makes tawbah and he seeks forgiveness for those things. It is true that this part of the ayah is usually translated with the meaning Al-Maghdubi alayhim, meaning the Jews, and Ad-Dallin, meaning the Christians. And this translation is not incorrect, it is not wrong. However, it is incorrect to restrict the meaning of this ayah to the Jews and the Christians. For the simple reason that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to restrict the meaning, He would have said, O Allah, not the ways of the Jews and the Christians. There was no need to say, غَيْرِ الْمَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَدْضَالِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, not the ways of the Jews and not the ways of the Christians. But Allah did not say that. Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a standard, a criterion to judge ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned with the actions of people. He's not concerned about their race or their color or their nationality or whatever. He's not concerned with who they are. He's concerned with what they do. So we ask protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all things that anger Allah and all actions of misguidance. And that's the reason why, as I mentioned earlier, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi said that Surah al-Fatiha is tawbah. Reflect that tawbah cleanses us, converts our sins into good deeds, and saves us from the anger and punishment of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity to make tawbah every time we stand before Him. How much should we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity? And what do you say about the one who does not take that opportunity, even though that opportunity comes to him multiple times every single day? Finally, in conclusion, I want to say to you that there are two ways to guide somebody. One is to give them a map and tell him to follow the map. Here is a map. You can read the map and get to your destination. But the danger with this method, it's not a bad method, but it's not a foolproof method. And it's not a foolproof method because it is possible that even though you can read a map, that you misinterpret some direction in the map. Or it is possible that some unexpected situation arises in the course of your journey and you don't know what to do in that situation. The map has not clarified that. And therefore, what is an absolute surefire foolproof method of guidance? And that method is to send somebody who knows the way. Send somebody who knows what to do. And simply say to you, follow this man. Follow him. And that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ مَا حُمِّلَ وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حُمِّلْتُمْ وَإِنْ تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ. In Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. But if you turn away, then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only responsible for the duty placed on him, which is to convey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's message. And you are responsible for the duty that is placed on you, which is to obey the message. And then Allah said, وَإِن تُطِعُهُ تَهْتَدُ. Allah said, and if you obey him, you will be on the right guidance. Please reflect on this ayah.
Allah said, if you obey Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, only then are you on the right guidance. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his Nabi free from the responsibility of your disobedience. And he said, the responsibility of the messenger is only to guide and only to convey in a clear manner. Now question is, why didn't Allah simply say, if you obey Allah, you are on the right path? Why did Allah not say, if you obey Allah, you will be on the right guidance? We seem to think that the sunnah is left to our discretion, to follow or not to follow, as we wish. If that were the case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have said with respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you obey him. Please think about, reflect on the Quran. Why do you read the Quran in a mindless manner? The ayah is clearly saying, قُلْ أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُ. Obey Allah and His Messenger. Matter is over. What was the need in the same ayah to say once again, وَإِن تُطِعُهُ تَحْتَدُ. Same ayah, Allah is saying once again, only if you obey Him, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you will be on the right guidance. Allah has already said, obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there must be something, no? Great mystery. That mystery is to follow the sunnah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically said, if you obey him, you will be on the right guidance. My brothers and sisters, obedience to the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, complete and total obedience, is a fundamental pillar of Islam. To obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to follow his sunnah is fard. And we will be held accountable for it. To reiterate this, to emphasize this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ تَوَلَّ فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا. Allah said, he who obeys Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he who obeys the messenger, has indeed obeyed Allah. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. And he who turns away, then we have not sent you as a watcher over them. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is freeing his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the effects of our disobedience. If we obey Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we have obeyed Allah. In which case, we are entitled to the benefits of that. And if we disobey Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we are on our own. We are on our own. There is no dua which is going to help you and me. The only dua that can help you is your own dua, which is tawbah. If you don't do tawbah, and if you continue to disobey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for whatever convoluted, misguided reason is in your mind, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you. Because nobody else can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned what He will do in the dunya for those who obey and follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not a one-way street. There are basharat. There's lots and lots of good news. And there's also wa'id, a promise of punishment for those who disobey. Now what is the bashara? What is the good news? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa'ada Allahu allatheena amanu. The wa'ada of Allah, the promise of Allah. Wa'ada Allahu allatheena amanu minkum wa'amilu salihati layastakhlifannahum fil ard. Kama istakhlafa allatheena min qablihim walayumakkinannahum. وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising. وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّهُمْ دِينَهُمْ الَّذِيرْ طَدَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنَ يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah has promised those among you who believe and who do righteous deeds that He will definitely layastakhlifanna. Yaqeenan He will give khilafah. That certainly He will grant them khilafah on the earth, as He granted to those before them. And that He will grant them the authority to practice their religion without fear, that which He has chosen for them, which is Islam. And He will surely give them in exchange security after their fear. He will change their fear into a state of security. provided they worship me and do not associate anything in worship with me. Jalla Jalalu. But whosoever disbelieved after this, they are the rebellious people, they are the fasiqun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this dunya, obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following his way, the sunnah, is not only to earn the akhirah, but also the way to earn power and authority and wealth and influence in the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us this, in the life of the sahaba itself. The Mufassirin have said that this ayah has already come true. Meaning that it will come again and again. It will happen every time because these are the standards which are set. But it's not that you don't have to sit and wait for when will this happen. It has already happened and we know this from the history of Islam. Allah showed us that He took a group of people who were nobody in their time. They had no influence. They were ignored by the rest of the world. And He gave them power and authority over the superpowers of that time. And for 1,000 years, this continued. And the flag of Islam dominated the world. It was only when Muslims forgot the reason for their victory and allowed themselves to be corrupted and gave in to the same greed and chasing after dunya that the rest of the world does, that the responsibility of Khilafah was taken away from them. And they became enslaved. I remind myself and you that slavery is a state of mind, not a state of physical confinement. A nation does not lose its glory and fall until it destroys itself from within. What do you say about a people who have the formula for success but refuse to use it and go around searching for solutions in places where they don't exist? We live in a world that has lost the plot, a world that is full of self-created hardship, suffering, oppression and inequity, a world that refuses to recognize that it is the creator of its own state. And yet we, who have the solution, refuse to use it ourselves or to teach it to others. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a tawfiq to reflect on His kalam and to make tawbah and change our lives so that we may be resurrected with Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba, and that we may be given their company in Jannah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with all of you and to help you and accept your du'as and to use you for the purpose of guiding all of mankind to the path that is chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.